Now this morning I want you to take your Bible one more time and turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. The Lord here in verse 39, He spake a parable unto them, unto those who came to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. This parable that He gives actually has four parts to it. And I'm going to bring a different message from each of these four parts from this one parable given in four parts. So I'm entitling the message from the words found in verse 39, "The Lord spake a parable unto them." The Lord often, many times, taught His disciples and others using what we know as a parable. A parable is an earthly story or illustration that teaches a spiritual and valuable lesson unto those that are blessed to hear it. Now we read just a moment ago from Matthew chapter 13, "The Lord spake a parable unto them, a man went forth to sow seed." That was an earthly story that presents a valuable and spiritual lesson. Remember, the disciples asked the question, "Lord, why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And He answered this way, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven is salvation in Christ. It's given to you to know the mystery of salvation that's revealed in Christ. To them, it's not given. Here again we see the sovereign purpose and the sovereign mercy of God. He will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. Now back in Luke chapter 6, within this one parable, the Lord gives us here four different parts. Each of these parts contain a warning and a promise. A warning, lest we presume, and a promise, lest we despair. They each contain a most important lesson to be learned. I want to be a learner of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? I want to be a disciple, that is, one who is taught of the Lord. Don't you? And I'll show you the reason why that's important. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I want to be a disciple of the Lord, one who sits at His feet and one who learns of Him, who learns about Him. And here's why that's so important. In John chapter 6, notice it is written, verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophet, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father," He says, "they come to me." I want to be a disciple of the Lord. I want to learn of Him. Now don't turn to this one because you're familiar with this scripture, but let me just read it to you from Matthew chapter 11. He said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." Salvation is the sovereign revelation of God the Holy Spirit concerning the gospel of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He says here in verse 28 of Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul." You shall find salvation in Christ. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now look back at Luke chapter 6. Let me give you these four parts and we'll come back and look at the first part. Here's the four parts of this one parable. The danger of listening to and following false prophets and false doctrine. And then we see the blessing of following the true Christ of God. The second part of this parable, the danger of self-righteousness and hypocrisy. And the blessedness of self-judgment and self-condemnation. We'll look at that next week. And then thirdly, we see here in this one parable, the danger of a deceived heart. And then the blessedness of having a new heart revealed and given in Christ Jesus. Here's the fourth part. Now see, it's going to take a month or so to get through this. The fourth part is this. The danger of hearing the word of the Lord and not receiving it and obeying it. And then the blessing of receiving the word of God. The blessing of believing the word of God and resting in the word of the Lord. Now, let's consider this first part of this one parable in verse 39 and verse 40. Let's read this one more time. He spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Well, a blind man can lead a blind man. But there's consequences to that. Shall they not both get in trouble and fall into the ditch? Verse 40 goes with this first part. The disciple or the student is not above his teacher. Master there, the word is teacher. The student is not above his teacher. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, here we see the danger of listening to and following false teachers, false doctrine, and then the blessing of following the true master, the true teaching of the good shepherd. You remember Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lead me in green pasture of his true word, and that causes me to rest in him. Now the Lord here in verse 39, he spake a parable unto them. The Lord here had a direct reference to the Pharisees, the religious leaders in his day who taught false doctrine, false teaching on the way of salvation. They taught salvation by the works of the law or by the traditions of men rather than the grace of God alone, rather than the Lord Jesus Christ alone, rather than faith alone. Our Lord clearly rebuked the Pharisees for their false teaching. If you turn back to the book of Matthew and find chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, verse 7, he said, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines. Notice that word is plural. As I pointed out in my Bible lesson this morning, the doctrine of Christ is always singular. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men. Read on now, Matthew 15. He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. It's not that which goeth into the mouth that defile a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. They were concerned about eating without washing their hands. Now read on. Then came his disciples and said to him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Now look at verse 13. You see, the Lord used this saying more than one time. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. He said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You see, the Lord repeated himself. It is always right and proper to repeat something that is true. School teachers use this over and over, don't they? They repeat the same truth over and over and over again. I heard one time that you have to hear something at least 7 times before you can retain it. The Lord repeatedly warned about false teachers leading people astray. The Lord had the greatest and most frequent warnings about blind guides, false prophets, and the judgment that fell upon them and their followers. Turn back to the book of Matthew and find this time Matthew chapter 7. He had the strongest rebuke. Many times he said unto them, "Woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto you." Matthew 23 is full of those woes and woes. But in Matthew chapter 7, notice verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." What is the will of the Father? Well, it's to believe Christ. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Sin, iniquity. Now, we studied this morning from our Bible lesson, and I won't have you turn and read it again, but I'll just turn and read it to remind you. We had a warning about those who come preaching another doctrine. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him good day," Godspeed. "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." Now here's the warning for us. If we follow those who are blind, that is false teachers and false preachers, we will end up in the same ditch as they're headed for, because it's a ditch of destruction and eternal ruin and the eternal wrath of God. "He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Now listen to me carefully. It is impossible to learn the truth while listening to lies. Now you think about that. Does God use the lies of men to teach sinners the truth? No, sir. It is impossible to believe the truth while you hang on to a lie or a refuge of lies. Our Lord said in John chapter 8, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If the teacher is teaching a student in the classroom a lie, a falsehood, fiction instead of fact, what will the student learn? If you have a teacher over here in the school, and that teacher is teaching fiction, she's teaching history, and she's not teaching the truth, what will the students believe? They'll believe exactly the lie that she is telling. That's exactly what the Lord is teaching here. The student cannot rise above the falsehood. The student will embrace the lie because the student thinks the teacher knows the truth. But if the teacher is deceived, the student will be deceived. Now here's the illustration for us. The teacher or preacher who does not know the way of salvation in Christ alone, who does not know how sinners are justified by his grace alone, cannot lead and tell those sinners the way of true salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is impossible. A false teacher cannot preach or tell what he does not know. He's going to tell what he knows. And if all he teaches is salvation that's dependent upon the creature rather than the Creator, rather than the Christ of God, he's never going to lead any man to believe the truth when he teaches nothing but a lie. If the preacher is in error, those who hear and follow him will embrace the same lie and be damned the same way. You cannot be in false religion, man-centered, free will works religion, and practice it and know the true and living God. Now, I've been there. I've done that. God delivered me from that by his grace. You see, eternal life, hold your place there in John 6. Eternal life, as it's described in the Word of God, turn to John 17. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of what? Truth. The truth about sin, the truth about God, the truth about how God saves sinners. In John 17, verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ. Who is he? He's the sovereign Christ, the almighty Christ, the eternal Christ, whom thou hast sent. I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. You cannot be in false religion and practice that false religion and know the true and living God. You cannot believe in free will works religion and still say you believe in salvation by the sovereign grace of God. Now, a lot of people try to do that, but it just cannot be done. Salvation is not by man's free will. Salvation does not depend upon you. Salvation depends upon Christ. Now here's a scripture from Romans chapter 9. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Free will works religion is the lie of the devil. Salvation is all of God's grace. But oftentimes they say, well, we see, okay. How did the Lord deal with those who said, oh, we see? Turn to John chapter 9. They said, are we blind? John chapter 9, verse 38, he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. The Lord had just given sight to a blind man. And then in verse 39, the Pharisees were asking that blind man, well, how did you see? Who made you to see? And he said, well, the Lord made me to see. Look at verse 39. For judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, that blind men might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Judicially blind. Oh, we see. No, you don't. You're blind. You think you see. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said to him, are we also blind? Are we blind? Look what he says here. The Lord said in verse 41, the Lord said unto them, if you were blind, that is, if you were really a sinner in need of mercy, you should have no sin. But now you say, you see. Oh, we see. Therefore, he said, you're yet remain in your sin. In your sin. Now, there's the warning. Now, where's the blessing? Look back to Luke chapter 6. There's the warning. Don't follow the blind man. Follow the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Well, yes, they will. Verse 40, the disciple is not above his master. The student is not above the teacher. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now there's the blessing. There's the blessing. Look at this little word here in verse 40. B-U-T. You know, in Scripture that is a big word. It's a very big word. If you look over here in Ephesians chapter 2, you remember? Ephesians chapter 2, when he talks about we were dead in trespasses and in sin, and we walked according to the course of this world, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, among whom also we all had our conversation in the lust, in the times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God. Now, who made you to differ? Who gave you eyes to see? Our Lord said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, the sovereign gift of God. Look back at Luke 6, verse 40. But everyone that is perfect. That word perfect can also be rendered mended, made whole, complete, shall be as his master. Now, who has made us whole? Who has made us complete? In him dwells all the fullness of a Godhead bodily, and we stand complete in Christ, in him. If we are blessed to hear and follow the master, you know, many times in Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ is called master, isn't he? Master. He's the master teacher. If we're blessed to hear and to follow the master, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of salvation, who is perfect in all his ways, in all his truth, you shall be as the master teacher, as the Lord himself, perfect, complete, mended, and made whole in him. Now let me show you something very, very interesting. Turn back to Luke, or rather, John 17 one more time. John 17 one more time. This same word perfect here is used in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and that eternal blessed union that we have in him. In John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, their truth, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, verse 22, John 17, and the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now look at verse 23 carefully, underscore this word, I in them, Christ in you is a hope of glory, thou in me, you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son, that they may be made perfect in one. We are what? We're made perfect in one. That which is true of the head is true of the body. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over here to John, 1 John. 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 17 very carefully. Herein is our love made perfect. There's that word again. Perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is, so are we in this world right now. Now, we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how does God see us right now? In Christ. In Christ. Look back to the text now. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. I'm saying that the sinner justified in the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect before God in Christ. Matter of fact, it says that he's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I want to follow Him, don't you? I want to be found in Him, don't you? Now we confess by nature and by birth, we are all born spiritually blind, ignorant to the things of God, not knowing the way of truth and the way of God. Let me show you that in the book of Ephesians, if you'll turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll start there. Ephesians chapter 4, he says in verse 18, verse 17, let's start there. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, the hardness of their heart. That's us by nature. Look back one page, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. He said that at that time you were without Christ, being Gentiles in the flesh, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, there's that word again, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He is our peace. Ephesians chapter 1, turn there, verse 17. Paul said, I cease not to pray for you. Verse 17, Ephesians 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being opened or enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, might, dominion, and power, every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is also to come. He's raised us from the dead. By nature, we're blind and dead in sin. The Lord must give us life and light that we might see. Life and light that we might see. Thank God in the gospel, He said, I've commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, to shine in your dead heart, that you might see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to another blind Pharisee? Turn to John chapter 3. Here was a man who was raised in religion, who read the Word, read the law of God, a man who everyone thought had understanding, and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night, probably ashamed and embarrassed to seek out the Lord of glory. In John chapter 3, and our Lord says unto him in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born again, born from above, he cannot see. You see, God has to give us light and eyes and life and understanding and light. And Nicodemus say, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter in the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And the Lord said, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. You cannot see. You cannot believe the gospel. And then verse 8, he talks about the sovereignty, the Spirit of God. The wind bloweth where it will. Thou hearest the sound thereof, you cannot tell from whence it come or whither it goes. So is everyone that's born by the Spirit of God. When the Lord is pleased to send His truth and reveal the gospel to us and raise us from the dead, He does it with the word of truth. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. We do, when the Lord raises us from the dead, Thy people shall be willing in the day of His power. We do and will resolve in our hearts to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who is light and who is life. Now I'll read this scripture to you in John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Our Lord said again in John chapter 10, He said, My sheep will hear my voice, a stranger they will not follow. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What I'm saying is this, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is our Savior, and He is salvation. Salvation in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the Good Shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep. The Lord said in John 10, He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Christ is the door. Every other door is destruction. He said, I am the door. The Lord Jesus Christ, He said, I am the way. Every other way is the way of death. There is a way that seems right unto men, the end thereof is death. The Lord Jesus in John 14 said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by and through me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth of God, sent from God. Everything else is a lie. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true God, and He is eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ is life Himself. Everything else is death. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Whatever else you have, if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ by the way of saving faith, you do not have life. The Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture is called our altar, our sacrifice for sin. Everything else is idolatry. Be done with it. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Christ is our salvation alone. Everything else is condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else apart from Him is condemnation. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is all of our righteousness that justifies us before God. Everything else is filthy rags. God says your righteousness that you produce of your hands, your morality, the best you have, the best you can bring, is vanity, filthy rags. Paul called it dung. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ alone is our righteousness. You remember the message from Thursday evening by Brother Fortner. But of Him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's all of our salvation. Anything and everything that God has for any guilty sinner is found in Christ. Where do you want to be found when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back? Some say, well, I want to be in church. Some say, well, I want to be in the pulpit. Some say, well, I want to be on my knees. I want to be found in Him, in Christ. Everything else is sinking sand. Christ alone is our complete righteousness. Christ alone is our complete redemption. Everything else is total ruin. We have redemption in Him. One more verse and I'll be through. Ephesians chapter 1. Here's what I'm trying to say. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1. Verse 3 rather. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, one more verse. In whom we have redemption. We have redemption. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That is the price that God demanded for our ransom, that sets us free. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Oh, to win Christ and be found in him. You see the blessing in that verse? That everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. As he is, so are we in this world. May God bless his truth.